Hi, this is the Like Dragons, Do They Fight audio series. I'm Karen Broadhead with Life Teaming Services, and I am here with Carlos. And I am so thrilled for you to hear from Carlos. The reason I invited him to come is because this man has been such an inspiration in my life, so much so that it makes me feel emotional introducing him because he has affected my testimony and helped me to recognize more what the gospel of Jesus Christ means in my life. And I am so grateful for him. Carlos is the facilitator of our elite missionary training, and he has been teaching and directing that course that we have offered for our generals in the Sons of Helaman program for several years, and is open to new things and more things, but he's really passionate about serving people and kind of the missionary effort that we all covenant to take upon ourselves in following Jesus Christ when we're baptized. He lives that so much, and I'm so thankful for his example. So I'm going to turn the time over to Carlos. And Carlos, if you wouldn't just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you so we know, who is this guy as a guy?
Yeah, I'm a returned missionary. I've been back for 2.5 years, currently going to school for a pre-engineering degree. So this is something I enjoy as a side thing. I got involved with the Sons of Helaman right after my mission, thanks to my aunt, who is familiar with the program and introduced me and my whole family to it. And it's been especially a blessing for me because I'm one who's struggled a lot in my life, and with the help of my parents and my bishop, I've been able to do a lot, but this helped give me some extra tools that I was really grasping for and really needing in my life. And I'm thankful for that. And I know that there's things that people need to learn, and it helps. And a lot of the things that are taught here in the Sons of Helaman program is very needed. And some of it is extremely important to our individual journeys back to coming closer to Heavenly Father. And if we don't take these tools and use them, then we're missing out on a lot of blessings that the Lord has for us. Mm. So
awesome. Tell us a little bit about what are some of the things you enjoy doing and a little bit about your family.
I'm the oldest of 8 kids. I'm the pianist of the family. Whenever we do family home evening or anything, I'm the one playing the piano so we can all sing together. And that's probably one of our favorite family activities, is singing together as a family. I love the outdoors. I love scouting. I love things along those lines. I spend a lot of time actually doing music. That's one of my big hobbies. So, and then right now, a lot of time is taken up with school. So that's pretty much my life.
Yeah. And I know just Carlos has a break right now in school. And just this week, I asked him, what mountain are you going to hike? Just because I knew he's going to do something in nature because he likes it. It's awesome. So, Carlos, you mentioned how there are things that you've discovered here in the principles taught in the Sons of Helaman program that you think are needed. People need those principles, or that they've been such an asset to you. Tell us a little bit about why do you say that? What have you found that's like, what? That is so helpful to know.
So, 2 things for me. The chemical scale was an extremely new revolutionary thing for me, and I'm glad that I learned that. And then the other thing was the lost battle analysis that is taught by the program also. Those two things have changed my outlook on everything and helped me see exactly where I am, where I need to be, and kind of how to make those changes and get it all done. So.
Awesome. So I have benefited so much, even though I teach Eternal Warriors as a mentor for years, and I've read the book, Like Dragons, Did They Fight, again and again, and I teach these things. Some of the insight that you have and the way that you express how these principles apply to your life personally has been so beneficial to me. So when you talk about the chemical scale, why would an individual need to know about the chemical scale? Why has it helped you so much? Be more specific about what's helpful about the chemical scale.
So the chemical scale is basically how the chemistry of your physical body and your spirit work together. Quite often, I don't think we think about that very much. And so the chemical scale is a great way for me to get introduced to that. And there's a place that if you stay there chemically with your physical body, the spirit's able to talk to you and it's able to be there in your life. And if you allow certain things to happen and you just allow them to go by the wayside and you don't worry about them, you're eventually able to drift out of that place where you have the spirit with you all the time. And if you don't notice that, and you don't know that that's what's actually happening, you lose the spirit and you're like, I didn't even do something wrong. Why is the spirit gone? And realizing that there's just chemicals in your brain that's basically just extra noise that drowns out the spirit. And it's just chemicals in your brain. And that's really, really important to know, I think. Because as I've noticed myself being off and I've done the things that are required to get myself back to where I can just feel the spirit again. And knowing that, no, I didn't do something wrong. The chemicals were off a little bit because my body's not perfect. And sometimes you have to do a lot more to get it back into place than other times. But just being able to realize what's going on and say, this is just my body struggling and being able to change it so that I can always be in that place where I feel the spirit always is that's so important. Every Sunday in the sacrament prayer, the blessing is to be able to have the Spirit always to be with us. And sometimes I think we don't work to keep it that way. So the chemical scale starts at zero. Zero is where you can feel the Spirit. The smaller the number, the better. And zero is where you feel the Holy Ghost. One is when you can't feel him anymore because something's off. And it's just the chemical part of it. And then eventually it'll move into you actually start facing trials, temptations in your brain because Satan's now allowed in and he's allowed to do stuff. And being able to notice that you no longer have the spirit, that you're off just a little bit. And it's not that you've done something bad because you haven't even been tempted to do something bad, but just your body struggling, you going through life, normal thing. It's what happens. And being able to say, okay, I got to go do something to not just get the spirit back, but to rebalance my chemicals. I need to maybe go get a glass of water. I need to eat some food. Maybe I need to go exercise a little bit. I need to do something. I need to smile. Sometimes that's what's needed. And just realizing where your body is also in that, because you're a body, a mind, and a spirit all together as a whole soul. And it has to work together in order to feel the spirit and to be in that place all the time.
Awesome. What about, what are some of the things that you, when you say, I got to go do something, because I think a lot of people really struggle staying at a zero and a one. Like, I know for me personally, when I first learned about the chemical scale, what I came to realize, and I think it's a little more noticeable for females because we are full of feelings, full of emotions so much, and that is the way that Satan knows women are so vulnerable, is to torment us in our mind. Because he knows we're going all the time in lots of compartments in our mind at the same time. And we're worried and love so many people. And we think, you know, our stewardship with all of those things. So for me personally, when I learned about the chemical scale, I realized I live at a level 2. That is my normal. I am normal. Karen is normal at a high emotional level where there's always some negative, strong negative feelings that I'm trying to manage, whether that's sadness, loneliness, or frustration and stress, overwhelmed, you know, it's just wherever it was. And so it was so alarming to me to realize this isn't normal. It's not normal for me to feel like this all the time. I thought that's just what I always felt like and the way my mind thought and worked. So when I realized that's not your normal, your normal is to feel peaceful, to feel the spirit, and to stay in and be able to live in that peaceful place where you have a lot of strength and a lot of help from heaven. Because when I lived in that normal level 2 place, I thought, God, where are you? Can't you see we're on fire here? That's what I always felt like. Can't you see? We just really need some help. And I'm trying to check all these boxes, but nothing's really helping us. But when I realized the help is at a level 0 and 1, you have to discern how to get there. So you are so good at recognizing when you're just off. And how to do the smallest things to stay in really safe places and not let your chemistry get really high to the point of losing big battles. But most people, that discernment happens. And one thing I'm so impressed with Carlos about is that you're kind of self-taught. You've learned yourself what this means to you. You didn't go through these years of Sons of Helaman and training and clinicians that helped you. You just really decided this is so needful. I'm going to learn how to do this.
Well, a lot of that comes from the amount of time I have spent, and it has been years. First time I talked to my bishop and really got some good counsel as to things I needed to do was when I was 12. That's almost 13 years ago now. And I have been working hard for that kind of an amount of time in order to be where I am. And so the idea isn't to compare yourself with me, with anyone else, but to say, okay, how am I doing compared to who I was yesterday? The simple thing from President Nelson. And just move forward with that and keep trying to do better every day, little bit by little bit, drop by drop, as Elder Bednar says. It's the small things that build up and help you become who the Lord needs you to be. It's not the big stuff. The first thing that I did 12 years ago was, and my bishop recommended it to me because he knew I loved music. He said, I want you to, every time you are feeling bad, bad things start coming into your life, you go spend some time doing some music. And because I love hymns, he said specifically the hymns. Back then I could I could tinker around on the piano a little bit and I could sing really well. But from that, I can play the piano very well. I can sing extremely well. Things have changed a lot and it's become part of me. I just feel like singing sometimes, and that's what I'll go and do. And I don't necessarily even know why. And then I find out later, oh, your chemicals were off. but it's not so much that you have to be conscious about chemicals all the time, but just always striving to have that connection with a spirit and always just be a happy in a good place. And you're like, oh, I feel like I need something that's good and going to uplift me, whether it be drawing a picture, whether it be singing, whether it be doing service, going looking at flowers. I don't know what just helps bring the spirit for you. Sometimes you have to get out, get sweaty, and get some stuff done in order to really make yourself feel better. But sometimes just a small little thing can make all the difference in the world. And you have to find what works for you. Music works for me, but there's lots of different things. Quoting a scripture that you've memorized. Remembering someone. Family history is wonderful as well. There's lots of stuff that you can do to rebalance yourself and get yourself back to that place where you can feel the spirit. So,
yeah.
And it's a project. It's not something that happens overnight. Like I said, it's been a long time for me. Mm-hmm. And I've only gotten this stuff down as of a couple of years ago, just before my mission, when I didn't know about the chemical scale yet, but I was doing the things that it has you do. And when I got home from my mission, I was like, okay, I need more because I need more information. I need more knowledge so that I can stay here. Because I don't know. I see a lot of people after a mission, they drop like flies because they don't know how to keep it, how to keep what they've learned. And I'm grateful for the Sons of Helaman program because it filled that need for me and said, okay, this is what you do. This is how you keep it. This is the last little bit of information that you need to know right now to keep it. And I'm grateful for that because that's been all the difference in the world for me.
Yeah, you've often said, when I first heard you say this, I was like, that is so cool. But now I think of it all the time and it is, this has helped me to not be a retired missionary, but a returned missionary, real returned missionary. So speaking of that and how, you know, there's this level of manpower that's required in the elite missionary training, the short version, we always call it EMTC. Speaking of that, two questions. One is, what's the danger of not recognizing that a level zero and a level one mood is a normal thing? Like, what's the danger for people to not know that?
Well, the biggest thing is they don't realize what's happening with them. The first thing in any situation is to see what is going on. That's taught by the military. That's taught by businessmen. That's a worldwide universal principle. You have to see what's going on and then see where you're at. Plan of salvation is seeing where you are. Well, you're here on earth and you've got all these challenges and problems. That's the first thing that you really need to see. After you understand the plan of salvation and you say, okay, where am I? How am I doing? And then you have to place yourself and you have to find out where you're at. If you ignore chemicals and you say, oh, everything's just horrible because we're here on earth and that's just how everything is, and you start taking that negative road, then it allows Satan a lot of power because you're saying that he has that power to just make your life miserable and you have no connection to the Savior. to get relief from that, which isn't true. That's a lie that Satan gives, and he loves it when people listen to him. But the truth is that there is a loving Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ and a Holy Ghost. And even though they might not be able to change your situation, they can change how you feel. They can change who you're becoming, and they can help you be positive through the worst things, whether you're Abinadi or it matters. The Lord can make that difference for you. And I love Gordon B. Hinckley. He always said, be positive. That was one of his B's. And I think that that one's extremely important. And oftentimes we say, oh, it's okay to be a little bit negative right now because everything's horrible. No, that's not going to be healthy at all. There's times when you cry because you're sad. But that doesn't mean that you have to feel like you're a bad person or like everything's horrible, because that's not how it is. Sorrow and pain are two different things. And there's a godly sorrow where you're just sad because of choices that are being made and things going on around you. And then there's one where you're hurt and you feel that things are horrible and you're experiencing pains that are similar to the things that Satan feels for rejecting and rebelling against God. And that's not what we want at all. We want to be happy. Men are that they might have joy, as Lehi said. And that is something that we, I think, struggle to always keep in our minds. You have to be happy. You have to find ways to be happy, even when things are situationally not going well. That doesn't mean that your spiritual situation and your eternal situation is bad, because God can make that right. And he can make that right now. You don't have to wait till the next life to be perfectly happy. That can come now. The Lord has tons of blessings, and most of the ones that we have access to are spiritual. As much as we'd love miracles to happen and make everything right now, that's for the next life. But spiritually, who we're becoming, what we feel, our connection with the Lord, that can all be very powerful, very strong, and we can see miracles there every day. And that's what the Lord wants for us.
Wow. It's amazing what you've learned about the benefit of the Spirit, and that it's not so much focusing on the chemical scale, but the Spirit, and that it's taught you so much about how to work God's plan in a peaceful, joyful way. So wonderful. One of the things you mentioned was the lost battle analysis and how that has been such an asset in your life. Tell us why. What is a lost battle analysis?
I'll give you some history now. So I have not just pornography, but I struggle a lot just keeping good thoughts in my head. I'm a pretty negative person. And that's part of the reason why I talked so much about being positive just a moment ago. And for me, being in a negative place hurts a lot because I've spent a lot of time there. The lost battle analysis is really what's allowed me to see how I end up in that place where everything's negative. I'm not feeling good. I'm just sad and can't think of anything good. And so what the lost battle analysis is kind of after the fact, when you have lost, you've gone down all the way to the 10, where you've done whatever thing, you've said, I'm not going to do that ever again. And then you've done it. The lost battle analysis is, instead of getting down on yourself, instead of being negative, step back and say, how did I get there? And then instead of saying, okay, I have no idea, it's okay, what happened just like right before I did it? Like seconds before I did it. And you're like, oh, I was doing this. I was just sitting there just with nothing to do. And I was thinking about it and I didn't. And I was just feeling bad and I didn't think to go do anything else because it was like, here it comes. And I just let it hit. And you're like, okay. So I was already too chemically off at that point to stop it from happening, for me just getting to those negative thoughts. So, okay, we got to go a little further back. Okay. And you go back in time, little bit by little bit, until you realize, oh, I didn't get the grade I wanted on that test a month ago. And I was kind of upset about that. So I started doing more homework. But I was struggling with my homework. And so spending more time on my homework just started moving me off a little bit. And then I didn't eat that morning, so I was hungry. And I forgot to say my morning prayers. And I wasn't talking to anybody. I was just being in my own little world all by myself and trying to deal with all my problems all by myself, which I can't do. And then I sat down on that couch and then I got to those negative thoughts again. And you're like, oh, okay. So when you get a bad grade in class, that's not a bad thing. And you have to trace it all the way back to where it starts. That's the lost battle analysis. Saying, okay, what happened? Well, getting a bad grade in a class, that's not necessarily a bad thing. Yeah, you don't like it. But there's lots of things, whether it be an argument with a sibling, for me, I'm sure it could be for, that would go for spouses also. It could be something you heard on the news. I mean, tons of different things can just twist. So you can't feel the spirit anymore. You're just out of that place where you can feel the spirit. And you have to work back and find out, where was that thing? And then what happens is, now I get a grade from class. I'm like, okay, that's what I got. And I can smile and say, oh, okay, that's the effort that I put in. All right, what more can I do? What do I need to do? What's healthy for me to do? Because sometimes spending more time isn't necessarily the healthy thing to get the job done. Sometimes it's okay, well, maybe I should analyze how my homework is actually being done when I sit down to do homework, and I need to make it more effective, rather than, oh, just spend more time doing it. Because there's lots of things that play into a lost battle, and it's your whole life, everything that's going on, because Satan can take all of that into account. But the Lord can take it all into account too, and he didn't want you to lose that battle, and he was doing stuff, and he had little red flags up saying, no, 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 don't go here, don't go here. And we missed them because we had the lost battle. And so you can go back and say, ah, I got a prompting that I should say my prayers this morning. Oh, oops, that one's on me. So whenever I feel that little thing, that little nudge that I had, maybe I should say my prayers right now. Because maybe it was like at a weird time, like while I was in the bathroom or something, maybe you should say your prayers. Like, oh, okay. Well, maybe I should have said my prayers. Maybe that would have been enough to make it so it wouldn't have happened. It doesn't matter what the thing was that actually ended up happening. If you run an effective analysis, you're going to see the hand of the Lord in your life. And you're going to see promptings from the Spirit that you received. Initially, when you're first conducting analysis, it's really a whole lot better if you have another person. And you're like, okay, I just did this. And they're like, whoa, you did that? I'm like, uh-huh. I'd like you to ask me questions. And we're going to go back in time and try and find out where my chemicals got off, where the Spirit, I wasn't listening, so that I can make the changes and I can notice the Spirit when it's in my life. You learn how the Spirit talks to you in a different way. As a missionary, you kind of learn, oh, maybe we should go knock on that door. You get those kinds of promptings. But the Spirit can also say, well, maybe you should say your prayers. Maybe you should eat breakfast. just different things that the Spirit's prompting us all the time and trying to talk to us all the time about little things, saying our prayers, eating food, getting a glass of water, looking at a flower, whatever it is, smiling. Those are the things that the Spirit loves to prompt us with. And we have to be open. And if we're not running an analysis on those times in our lives when we're not paying attention to the Spirit, it makes it really, really hard to feel the Spirit. Because you can feel the Spirit almost in hindsight and say, oh, that was a prompting from the Spirit. And whether you followed it or not, recognizing that the Lord sent, He sent the messenger to you. You're like, oh, He's real. God's real. He tried to send me that message. And I missed it. I missed it then. I got it now. And now I can use that in my life and say, that's what the Spirit feels like. The Holy Ghost was trying to tell me long before, when I had that sinking feeling about doing extra time on my homework, and I just felt, that's going to be horrible. That was the Spirit saying, guess what? Don't do that. That's not healthy. And I was like, no, but I got to, because there's no, how am I going to get, no, don't do that. That the Spirit was prompting me way back then. That was a prompting from the Spirit. There is lots of times when the Spirit gets to work in your life. And a lost battle analysis helps you feel the Spirit after the fact. Yeah, you just did something wrong. You'd think the Spirit would say, all right, I'm not hanging out with you again. But He doesn't. He's right there and says, okay, so now you did that. Now let's get back on track. That's what the Spirit says. That's what He wants. It's not a, you're a lost cause. But the thing is, you have to be receptive. You have to say, I want the Spirit. I want it back. I want to be back in that place. And you have to strive for it. It requires work, time, getting out of your comfort zone to ask people for help and to help you analyze things so that you can make sure that you get to that right place.
Yeah, that is so cool to consider that lost battle analysis isn't just about how did Satan get me? How did Satan get me off? How did he win, you know, this battle that we had? How did he win? Let's do a lost battle analysis to watch. everything Satan did to get me to this place. I love that you're bringing out that a last battle analysis is also, that is taught you how to feel the Spirit, hear the Spirit, and shown you even after the fact that God's hand's in your life. And he's trying to help you as you're starting to, you know, get higher and higher in your chemicals and getting to a more vulnerable place away from your values. He's giving you, like you mentioned, all these little red flags just to notice God's hand and the Spirit. That's so cool that you mentioned that. So great. One of the things that I'm wondering about is when you are considering the manpower goals, just the manpower calendar, it's been a really great tool for you. And you're one of the people I'm accountable to with my girl power calendar. And you are always rocking it on your days. But one thing I've noticed is that when you get back, you lose a square and you go back to it, day one, I just notice you don't stop. You just start as soon as you might be clear up in the 70s, 100s, whatever it is. And as soon as you get back to one, you're just right going again. You don't think, great, now I'm going to take a break before I start that again. You just get right back into it. So tell me just a little bit about why is a simple tool like a piece of paper with a bunch of squares on it and, you know, why is that so significant in your life?
So on a mission, you have what are called daily goals, and then you have weekly goals, and then you have a monthly goal, and then you have what's called a transfer goal. And those are all goals that you work for. You're working for them all the time as a missionary. When I got home, I was like, I don't know how or what goals are going to be important for me to set. Because, I mean, I'm not going for 4 baptisms in the next month and a half for the transfer. That's not a reasonable goal. Not a full-time missionary anymore. I can't teach 13 lessons a day as my weekly goal for this next week, just because that's not going to happen in my time schedule. I can't do that anymore because I'm not a full-time missionary. So what goals can I have? What can I work for so that I know that I'm being successful? I'm doing what the Lord needs me to do. And I'm not losing all that goal-setting power that I had on my mission. And that was the EMTC manpower goals, which are a little bit more strenuous than the standard manpower goals, but they focus specifically on being a missionary. And for me, that's meant the world to me. When I first saw the goals, I was like, oh, this is exactly what I needed. When I first got them, I prayed and I said, oh, Heavenly Father, I think I just found exactly what I need for me, for Carlos. And I got that beautiful confirmation from the Spirit saying, you found it. Yes, you are right. And so I've gone to work on it. It wasn't something that started easy because I was like, okay, well, how do I juggle all of this plus life? Because that's what you get as a returned missionary. You have to juggle. You still want to do all of these amazing spiritual things. Plus there's other things you got to do now with school and life and dating and everything else that goes along with that. And you have to make it all work. And so my first few months were, okay, how do I work it all out? And I knew that the goals were for me because I'd prayed about them and I'd gotten that confirmation from the Spirit. I don't know how important that is for a lot of people. Some people can probably just look at goals and say, that's mine. I'm doing that. And they can go after it. I can't do that. I have to have that spiritual confirmation that this is what I need to be doing. But that's just me. But having that confirmation that this is what you need to be working towards has been very, very meaningful. Yeah. So.
That's amazing. That's good because, I know for me, just doing something purposeful on purpose that I'm accountable to, it's like a tool that it keeps me awake. Kind of keeps me awake and reminds me that I am striving. I'm striving to keep my covenants. I'm striving to remember what it is I don't want to forget. And so that's one of the amazing tools is it keeps it in my mind. If I don't have it written down and I'm trying to do this, oftentimes I just think, oh yeah, I was supposed to be doing that. But I kind of forgot. I felt so strongly about implementing that in my life 2 or 3 days ago, but already I've totally forgotten that I wanted to. So good.
Actually, to add some more insight, for the manpower goals, initially the hardest part was really being able to work out my lost battle analysis and getting that down to a habit. Like sometimes now I won't even lose and I'll say, oh, I made it to a level 3. My emotions were crazy. I was having a stupid conversation with myself and I'll say pause and I get out of it. And I'm like, okay, I got to analyze. How did I get there? Cause that took me off guard. So I didn't even lose. I didn't even do what I needed to. And I still do the analysis because I got somewhere and Satan almost had me doing something bad. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to analyze it. So that was the skill that really needed a lot of working on and really needed the developing before I was able to get my manpower down. But like I said before, I already had that drive that I needed. God said, do manpower to Carlos. And so I was like, okay, this is for me. This is a little commandment for me to make sure that I do. Other people, it might not necessarily be that way and they might not see it that way. That's because they haven't prayed about each of their little squares individually and said, is this exactly what Heavenly Father needs me to be doing? When you get that confirmation, this is their commandments. You don't keep them. Yeah, he cares about that. He cares an awful lot. And he wants to help you to keep those goals because they're not just some random goal to get you to some earthly place. They're trying to get you back to heaven. That's their purpose. Another thing for me is I have reasons, personal reasons, in addition to wanting to be obedient. I have other blessings that I'm looking for by living manpower and allowing it to happen. One of them is, for me, a future happy marriage, to be able to be the husband and father I need to be and not be someone who's stuck with addictions or inhibiting trials or things that are going to cause my family pain. Because I know those things will cause pain to a family. And I don't want that. I want it to work out right. And I want to be the best I can be. And because I have these goals, I have things I can do, I'm going to use them to the fullest extent possible. So when I'm going up the ladder and I drop down to 0 because something happened, well, guess what? I'm going to analyze that battle and I'm going after it and I'm looking for that red flag that I missed. There's hundreds of red flags that I end up looking for all the time. And there's some things that are just kind of generic. And then there's some things that are pretty serious. And I have to watch out for that one red flag all the time. Because if I'm not looking, if I'm not watching, then I miss them. Because if you miss a prompting from the spirit, bad things can happen. And if you miss the prompting from the spirit and you're not seeking to always have yourself in the right place, something bad will happen. So you always have to be very careful and vigilant. And it's a beautiful thing because the Holy Ghost is your war buddy. And Jesus Christ is your captain. And, you know, Heavenly Father is there. And he's your Father in heaven. And he loves you. And you get to work with these three individuals who have all the power in the universe. And they want you to reach these goals. They allow it to happen. And when you fail, you get to feel all the sorrow and sadness that they have for what you've done. And it just makes you want to keep going. So.
It's amazing. Well, Carlos, I want to thank you for being just a master teacher in my life and a friend. Before we go, there's so many people that I know being a missionary and helping people is like at the top of your list. Like you really, that's not only one of your manpower goals, but it's just who you are, that you want to be someone who follows the Savior and builds his kingdom and whatever you can do in that arena. So if you were just in closing, just to give you the last comments and things, if you want to share, you know, what you fight for, if you'd like to share just a hand, like I'm extending a hand to people who might be in a dark place that, you know, this is why it's not too scary to come into the light, that kind of a thing. Just your testimony at the end.
Well, like I said before, I'm fighting for a future wife and family and to be that person that God sent down to this earth to fulfill a mission. That's what I'm fighting for. I want to fulfill that mission because that's the most important calling I've gotten here on this earth. And it has a lot of facets to it, but I got to be the worthy receptacle and I got to be better than I am now in order to fulfill that mission. So I'm fighting for that. And then for those who are struggling, whether it be with an addiction or with someone who has one, there is light. A zero where you can just feel the spirit all the time is not impossible. And it's possible to be able to feel when you're slightly off. And be able to get back to the spirit without even doing something wrong. Perfection is not completely out there because of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost and the kind of super powerful Godhead that they are. The power that they can bring into your life if you open up and let them. Can allow you to do things you wouldn't have dreamed possible. And it's not impossible because of God, because of the atonement of Jesus Christ to help us change and become better, and because of the constant guidance from the Spirit, we can do it. And yeah, we have to train. And it's not something that, bam, you get all at once. It's something that takes years and practice and patience and just trying to do better than you did yesterday. And I can testify you can make it to the Celestial Kingdom. You can make it home. Because God loves you, and He has made the way. And it's possible and real. It's not something that's fake. Or just a good story. There's times when you're going to feel that. That, oh, I can't do this anymore. I was doing so good. And I fell again. And you're like, I did everything. And the Lord can step in and say, yeah, well, you got to let me do some too. There's times when you just got to learn more about them. You got to feel them more in your life. You got to connect yourself better to them. Because they're real. They're not just something that's written down in scriptures. They're actually in your life. They're reaching out to you, touching, pleading, helping, rescuing, saving, helping other people around you, having miracles happen. And you can find them. You can find those things in your life. And you can come to know the Savior and your Father in heaven. And I know that that's real. I know that Joseph Smith was a prophet. I know that the Book of Mormon is true. I know that Thomas S. Monson is the Lord's prophet on the earth today. And I know that I'm a son of God. And that you're all children of God. And He loves you. And He has a way. He has a path that will take you back into their presence, that will perfect you and purify you and sanctify you so that you can be happy and be full of joy. And I say that, those words, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carlos.